Human beings have made lists for even longer than they have been writing letters. They are shorthand for what really matters to us, our hopes, our aspirations, our likes, our dislikes, our rules for living and loving, records for our memories, and reminders of the things that we want to do before we die. Just as he did with letters of note, Sean Usher has trawled the world's archives to produce a rich visual anthology that stretches from ancient times to present day. The name of the book is Lists of Note, an eclectic collection deserving of a wider audience. It is a great pleasure to welcome Sean Usher back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Very nice having you with us. As I mentioned in the introduction, you were responsible for letters of note. So was this a natural next step?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, when I started researching letters of note back in 2009. So I was kind of delving through all these archives, museums, libraries, searching for interesting letters written by all kinds of people. And what I noticed very, very quickly was that all these, the very same people that wrote these amazing letters also wrote lists, you know. We've been writing lists, as you just mentioned, for longer than we've been writing letters. And it seems that the archives and museums that I was looking in held huge amounts of interesting lists written by incredible people, you know, shopping lists, dictionaries, lists of favorites, to-do lists, resolutions. So I earmarked them, put them to one side and thought to myself, you know, when I get this letters of note project finished, or at least get the first book done, I'm going to revisit all these lists and do a list of note as well. So that's what I've done. So it's 125, well, the book at least is 125 fascinating lists from throughout history, from kind of ancient China up to modern day, spanning all kinds of subject matter. I'm really proud of it.
Was the criteria similar than it was to the letters of notebook in the sense that I assume you were looking for a wide range of subject matters and a wide range of interesting people?
Exactly. Yeah. Just as letters of note is a kind of diverse mixture that is seemingly random, but it in fact took a huge amount of time kind of collating and choosing the order itself. The same with the list, really. I wanted some sad, some happy, some written, you know, men and women, children, you know, the elderly. So it was just a real mixture from you know, that kind of spanned the ages, all sorts of subject matter. I wanted all different kinds of lists. I wanted some with beautiful photographs. I've tried to track down the original documents themselves as well, so you can see people's handwriting, just as you could with letters of note. You could see people's handwriting and the paper they've chosen to write these lists on. I wanted some short lists, some long lists. There are some incredibly long lists in there that span pages. And there are some lists that are kind of only 5 points that really don't even take up a page. So really wanted to get a good mixture. And I think I've succeeded.
Absolutely. I want to start with my favorite, which is the Charles Dickens list of available names. I'm a huge fan of Charles Dickens and the names of his characters, but the fact that he had a list of names I was not aware of, and it is fascinating.
It is. In fact, there's two lists by Dickens in the book. The first one is not the one you mentioned. It's the name of fake books. He had a bookcase in his new house. He just moved house, Charles Dickens. And he had this bookcase that he needed to fill. So he had some fake books made and had to come up with this list of titles for all these fake books. I mean, it's things like Jonah's Account of the Whale, Orson's Art of Etiquette, The Gunpowder Magazine, 4 volumes, Paxton's Bloomers, 5 volumes. And he wrote to a bookmaker and asked him to actually make these fake books, which he did, and these books still exist. But yeah, the other list, which I'm just trying to find out. I mean, this book's got so many lists in it, it's difficult to find. So he kept a name. He basically, throughout his career, obviously he wrote a lot of books. I mean, he had a lot of characters in these books and he needed names for. So he kept an ongoing list of all these incredible names for all his future characters. And it's the most Dickensian thing you've ever read. I mean, some of these names are absolutely incredible. Things like Robert Ladle, Jolly Stick, Verity Mawkyard, Nelty Ashford, Sophia Doomsday, Swenton, Barduck, Snigsworth, Maxie Pemble, Bangham. It's so Dickens, you know. But yeah, it's an incredible list.
So let's use that as an example. Is that readily available in the sense of that you knew that existed, or is that going to an archivist and saying, does a list by Dickens exist?
That is this particular list I found. I was looking for a letter written by Charles Dickens, which incidentally I never found. I was looking for a letter he once wrote that I'd heard about, and I just, through looking for that letter, I found this list, which was, this list was published in a very old book that was read by very few people, and I found this list and just instantly fell in love with it. I attempted, because the list itself was written in one of Dickens's notebooks, which is still kept in the, I think it's New York Public Library, and I tried to get hold of the original list to photograph it as well, but I didn't succeed. But this was actually, so it's just by mistake that I found this. But a lot of the times I do speak to archivists. I've got a kind of network of archivists that I regularly talk to, and they kind of they alert me to new lists and letters that they found, and so that's how we usually find lists. But this one was just a complete mistake, but very grateful for it.
Another favorite in here, and I'm going to writers, so I will try to branch out in a second. But the other one being Kurt Vonnegut's commitments.
So Kurt Vonnegut, who I'm such a huge fan of Kurt Vonnegut, and I could have written a book just full of his lists as well. He wrote quite a few lists, but this at this time his wife was pregnant. And I think, judging by the letters he wrote at this time and this particular list, he wasn't behaving very well. And he wrote a list of commitments himself and signed it. And this was things he was going to adhere to make his pregnant wife's life easier. So it's things like, but it begins, I, Kurt Vonnegut Jr., that is, do hereby swear that I will be faithful to the commitments here under listed. With the agreement that my wife will not nag, heckle, and otherwise disturb me on the subject, I promise to scrub the bathroom and kitchen floors once a week on a day and hour of my choosing. Not only that, but I will do a good and thorough job. And by that, she means that I will get under the bathtub, behind the toilet, under the sink, under the icebox, into the corners, and I will pick up and put in some other location whatever movable objects happen to be on said floors at the time, so as to get under them too, and not just around them. And then it just carries, it's quite a long list. It's got things like, I will not track dirt into the house needlessly. By such means as not wiping my feet on the mat outside. And after shaving, I will put my shaving equipment back in the medicine closet. When smoking, I will make every effort to keep the ashtray, which I'm using, upon a surface that does not slant, sag, slope, dip, wrinkle, or give way upon the slightest provocation. It's a fantastic list. And I imagine quite a few husbands could actually sign this same list.
Speaking of husbands, Harry S. Truman has a love list in here, which I thought was a very interesting project of on your anniversary of basically doing a state of each year that you were married.
Yeah, so for each year from 1922 up to 1957, which is when he wrote it, he writes the kind of the defining moment of that year. It's a fantastic list, really quite romantic, but also I couldn't do this because my memory is absolutely terrible. I can barely remember last week. But he's wrote so for instance, in 1927, presiding judge eating again because. Prior to that, he didn't have a job and had very little money. So he was kind of celebrating that he had enough money to eat. 1929, panic in October. 1931, six-year-old daughter. So it's this lovely list that spans the years that he gave to his wife, Bess, to kind of celebrate the anniversary. It's quite a unique list. I've never seen a list like this before. So it was an easy decision to include it.
You also, and I'll end with this one because I just love it, it is a list by a man by the name of Robert May, who was a copywriter for a department store, and ultimately he was tasked with writing a cheery holiday book, and he ended up writing about a red-nosed reindeer. The list is possible names for that reindeer.
Yeah. This is my favorite kind of list, I think. This kind of gives you a snapshot. This shows you an alternative universe, you know. So Rudolph could have been named Rodney or Roddy, Roderick, Rudy, Rollo, Roland, Reggie, Reginald, Romeo. So it's this lovely handwritten list, very simple, but it's just a, I mean, it's a, such a huge, historically important story. And to see these names, these alternative names, is fascinating. I mean, this reminds me of another list in the book that's a list of alternatives to the line, "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn." You know, one of the famous lines in movie history. But the censors deemed that the word damn was too rude at the time, and so they said you can't use it. So the producers came up with this list of alternatives, and it's horrific. You know, some of the lines they came up with that could have replaced this incredibly famous thing. It was like, "Frankly, my dear, the whole thing is a stench in my nostrils. Frankly, my dear, it makes my gorge rise. Frankly, my dear, I've withdrawn from the battle." Atrocious. But thankfully, the censors, they succumbed in the end, and they said that damn could be used. But I love that kind of the snapshots of what could have been.
And, you know, the other great thing, and you mentioned this earlier about the there were oftentimes with the Dickens list, you were looking to have the actual facsimile that you could put into the book. You do this with a Woody Guthrie list for New Year's Rulins. And the one thing that I take away from this is, God, that man had incredible handwriting.
Yes, it's always lovely to see people's handwriting. With letters of note as well, one of the most enjoyable things is seeing the handwriting of all these people that you've kind of followed and admired for years, and then to discover that they've got terrible handwriting or they've got really beautiful handwriting is a real joy, and it adds another dimension. You know, had this just been a kind of a paperback book full of lists, just where you could, you know, read transcripts of these lists, I don't think it would have been half as appealing. But seeing the handwriting and the way they've numbered the lists, the paper they've chosen, really kind of adds another dimension to the whole experience.
Well, the book is endlessly fun, as was the first book, Letters of Note. This is Lists of Note, an eclectic collection deserving of a wider audience. It is compiled by Sean Usher. It is published by Chronicle. Sean, great to speak with you again. Thank you very much for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book is Lists of Note. It is published by Chronicle Books, compiled by Sean Usher. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.